not imposed won't fully be eliminated until he is found either dead or alive?
Well, as I say, we hadn't heard much from him. And I wouldn't necessarily say he's at the center of any command structure. And, you know, again, I don't know where he is. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him. I know he is on the run. I was concerned about him when he had taken over a country. I was concerned about the fact that he was basically running Afghanistan and calling the shots for the Taliban. And but, you know, once we set out the policy and started executing the plan, we shoved him out more and more on the margins. He has no place to train these Al-Qaeda killers anymore.
Scrutinize every word, memorize every line. I spit it once, refuel, re-energize and rewind. I can sight to the blind, my insight through the mind. I exercise my right to express what I feel at times. It's just all in your mind, what you interpret it as. I say the fight, you take it as I'ma whip someone's ass. If you don't understand, don't even bother to ask. A father who has grown up with a fatherless past, who has grown up now to rap phenomenon that has, or at least shows, no difficulty multitasking and juggling both. Perhaps mastered his craft slash entrepreneur who has helped launch a few more rap acts, who's had a few obstacles thrown his way through the last half of his career. Typical manure, cash that Mr. Kiss's ass crack. He's a class act, rubber band man. Yeah, he just snaps back. Come along, follow me as I lead through the darkness, as I provide just enough spark that we need to proceed. Carry on, give me hope, give me strength. Come with me and I won't steer you wrong. Put your faith and your trust as I guide us through the fog to the light. At the end of the tunnel, we gon' fight, we gon' charge, we gon' storm, we gon' march through the swamp, we gon' march through the marsh. Take us right through the doors. Come on, people up top, on the side, in the middle, come together, let's all fall. It's strong just a little, just let it gradually build. From the front to the back, all you can see is the sea of people, some white and some black. No matter what color, all that matters, we're gathered together to celebrate for the same cause. No matter the weather, if it rains, let it rain. Yeah, the wetter, the better. They ain't gonna stop us, they can't. We're stronger now more than ever. They tell us no, we say yeah. They tell us stop, we
Welcome
say go.
Everybody to the slightly angry, slightly pissed off, slightly distraught Radio Brendo Man podcast. Kerry's not conceded yet. Ohio has not official yet. Something about provisional ballots. I've been up for the last who knows how long. And, you know, it just I'm just confused a little bit. Because George Bush just got the most votes a president has ever gotten. More votes than Ronald Reagan. And in these times, it just doesn't make sense to me. But he's got his loyal people. He's got his people that say, you know, if you're voting for Kerry, you're voting for Bin Laden. If you're thinking about September 11th, you would vote for George Bush. My mom told me that. And you know what? That is bull crap. I voted. Well, I didn't get to vote. I didn't get to freaking vote. But if I did vote, I was voting with September 11th in mind. Believe me. Believe me. And I was voting with a bunch of other stuff in mind. And I'm not going to be afraid. And I'm not going to let the fear rule me. Just because, I don't know. I can't get into this. I'm just distraught. It's going to be a short podcast today. I'm going to read some stuff from random blogs I found, and I'm playing some music I'm not supposed to play, but I don't give a freaking butt. I would play the whole song if I could. I'd play it 10 million times. I'd play a bunch of songs because, you know, I'm a little bit disillusioned. I was already disillusioned. I'm even more disillusioned, and I don't know. I just don't know, guys. So, this is me. Brendan Creasy coming live from Harbin, China. And we've got an extra special guest today, and I should be happy about this, because Luis speaks for the first time. And the whole time I was listening to this clip from Luis, I was thinking, holy crap, it's Luis, and he's talking, and he sounds a little bit like me, but with a New York accent. It's kind of funny. And so we'll be hearing from Luis a little bit later on in the program. And that's what's going to go on. I'm going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world. I'll go through. I figured maybe I don't really have a lot to talk about, so I just look at my blog lines, see what other people are saying, and let that speak for me. And that's what we're going to do. And then Luis is going to talk. I'm going to freaking get out of here because everybody's been so caught up and stuff, didn't get any other segments, but I'm sure I'll be hearing a lot from a lot of people. And there's still not an official result. I'm not willing to call it. I mean, there's a flying fat chance. That's what it is. It's a flying fat chance. I don't think it's going to happen. But let the votes get counted, okay, people? Let the votes get freaking counted. Those provisional ballots, yada yada. NPR is not calling it yet, but of course Fox News calls it, and of course Henry called it. Henry's W wins right there, you know, and I love you, Henry, but man, I really disagree with you. And so, okay, so let's get to this. Blog lines. Let's see what's in the blogosphere right now. Let me hit refresh on my blog lines. La la la. Subscribe currently to hold on, it's refreshing. My internet's a little slow here. Let me just read something. It's from the Russell Beatty Notebook. 100 Facts and One Opinion. This was posted on Monday. And this is from an article in The Nation. And he just lists friggin' 100 things, reasons not to vote for Bush. And, or just facts. It's from the American Progress. Number one, the Bush administration has spent more than $140 billion on a war of choice in Iraq. The Bush administration sent troops into battle without adequate body armor or armored Humvees, the source Fox News, Boston Globe. The Bush administration ignored estimates from General Eric Shinseki that several hundred thousand troops would be required to secure Iraq, source PBS. Vice President Dick Cheney said Americans will in fact be greeted as liberators in Iraq. Source the Washington Post. During the Bush administration's war in Iraq, more than 1,000 U.S. troops have lost their lives and more than 7,000 have been injured. GlobalSecurity.org. In May 2003, President Bush landed on an aircraft carrier in a flight suit, stood under a banner that proclaimed mission accomplished, and triumphantly announced that major combat operations were over in Iraq. Asked if he had any regrets, Bush said he would do it all over again. Source Yahoo News. Vice President Cheney said that Iraq was the geographic base of the terrorists who had us under assault for many years, but most especially on 9/11. The bipartisan 9/11 Commission found that Iraq had no involvement in the 9/11 attacks and no collaborative operational relationship with Al-Qaeda. Source MSNBC, 9/11 Commission. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice said that high-strength aluminum tubes acquired by Iraq were only really suited for nuclear weapons programs, warning, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. The government's top nuclear scientists had told the administration the tubes were too narrow, too heavy, too long to be of use in developing nuclear weapons and could be used for other purposes, source New York Times. The Bush administration has spent just $1.1 billion of the $18.4 billion Congress approved for Iraqi reconstruction, source USA Today. According to the administration's hand-picked weapon inspector, Charles Dolfer, there is no evidence that Hussein had passed illicit weapons material to Al-Qaeda or other terrorist organizations or had any intent to do so. After the release of the report, Bush continued to insist there was a risk, a real risk, that Saddam Hussein would pass weapons or materials or information to terrorist networks. Sources, New York Times, White House press release. According to Dolfer, the UN inspections regime put an economic stranglehold on Hussein that prevented him from developing a WMD program for more than 12 years. Source LA Times. Blah. Frickin' blah. It keeps going and going and going. the Bush administration awarded a multi-billion dollar no-bid contract to Halliburton, a company that still pays Vice President Cheney hundreds of thousands of dollars in deferred compensation each year. Cheney also has Halliburton stock options. The company then repeatedly overcharged the military for services, accepting kickbacks from subcontractors and served troops dirty food. Washington Post, Taipei Times, BBC News. The Bush administration told Saudi Prince Bandar bin Sultan about plans to go to war with Iraq before telling Secretary of State Colin Powell. Source DETNews.com. The Bush administration relentlessly pushed an energy bill containing $23.5 billion in corporate tax breaks, much of which have benefited major campaign contributors. You know, we've heard all this. We've heard this, and obviously people don't give a freaking crap. And people are going to vote the way they're going to vote. They don't care. And that freaking, I don't know, that makes me, that sucks. But that's just me. Environment, we got the environment, rights and liberties. Since 9/11, Attorney General John Ashcroft has detained 5,000 foreign nationals in anti-terrorism sweeps. None have been convicted of a terrorist crime. The Bush administration ignored pleas from the International Committee of the Red Cross to stop the abuse of prisoners in U.S. custody. The Bush administration, without ever charging with a crime, arrested U.S. citizen Jose Padilla at an airport in Chicago, held him on a naval brig in South Carolina for 2 years, denied him access to a lawyer, and prohibited any contact with his friends and family. Flip-flops. President Bush opposed the creation of the 9/11 Commission before he supported it, delaying an essential inquiry into one of the greatest intelligence failures in American history. President Bush said gay marriage was a state issue before he supported a constitutional amendment banning it. President Bush said he was committed to capture Osama bin Laden dead or alive before he said, "I truly am not that concerned about him." We just heard about that. President Bush said we had found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq before he admitted we hadn't found them. President Bush said you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror, before he admitted Saddam had no role in 9/11. So, there you go. And then it leaves with one opinion. If the past informs the future, 4 more years of Bush administration will be a tragic period in the history of the United States and the world. That's just one opinion. But, yeah. So moving on, my blogs, let's move on to something a little less geeky, or more geeky. Slashdot says, U.S. election gives voiceover IP traffic a bump. According to this news story, a number of voiceover internet voiceover IP service providers have experienced higher than normal call volumes today. The calls were traced to mostly Democratic volunteers making calls in key battleground states. Wow, so they're using voiceover IP to call. That's pretty cool. Quick news update, going over to the news category. Sorry, it's a little slow, but I don't really have a lot planned today because I was just been busy looking at the, yeah. Slate Magazine, blame the Electoral College. Kerry will lose, but he shouldn't be asked to quit before the game is over. Let's see. Sisters linked in the lab. A decade ago, Denise Shields of Laguna Niguel and Nancy Hinkley of Orlando, Florida went to China with a group of other Americans intent on adopting. And I guess they adopted sisters. And that's Yahoo News top stories. Okay. Cancer keeps Rehnquist home, prolongs concerns. Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist, heightening the uncertainty that surrounds the Supreme Court on the eve of the presidential election, announced Monday he was undergoing chemotherapy and radiation treatment and will not return to work this week as he had hoped. Ooh, that's interesting. Blah, 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 blah. White House says Bush has won re-election. Well, of course they have. Ohio may see court battle over election. Super. So we might not get a definitive thing for a while. Lakers, Pistons, Mavericks win openers. I like the Pistons and the Mavericks. Freaking hate the Lakers. They're stupid. Yeah. I'm so happy today. Can you tell? Gunman sees 5 in 2 Iraq kidnappings. Gunman abducted a Lebanese-American contractor who worked with the U.S. Army from his Baghdad home, while 4 Jordanian truck drivers were seized by assailants in a separate kidnapping. Voters in 11 states reject gay marriage. Okay. I'm not even going to get into that right now. International. Sharon's Gaza pullout plans faces key vote. Okay. Enough of this. Let's see what's over in the blog world. Blogs, blogging, blah. In the first 9 months of this year, 3.7 million people bought an Apple iPod personal stereo. Yet only one car, a BMW, is available with an iPod Link fitted at the dealership. So, gadgets aren't being really used in cars, I guess is what that's saying. And here's Neil Turner. I'm rather bleary-eyed this morning after staying up beyond 4 a.m. UK time watching the U.S. elections on BBC One. I left after the Congress result was called. The student union kept the bar open long to the wee small hours, and a surprising number of students turned up to watch the results being announced. The photo on the right was taken about 1 a.m. Checking this morning, I'm a little peeved that four states have, at time of writing, yet to call. But at least this is because of higher-than-expected turnout, which means that the results should be more indicative of what the American people truly want. Also, I'm peeved that Bush seems to be winning, but then I would say that. But it's not the final result, so we'll see what happens. Bush wins Florida, Ohio too close to call. That's what I've been hearing. So I'm not willing, you know, this could go on for a little while. We'll see what happens. I'm sure this is boring the piss out of you, or you're just ticked off because I disagree with what you have to say. Whatever. And I'm sorry, but I just, that's what's going on today. Don't worry, Luis will come in and save my butt soon enough, and he'll have some cool stuff. New York Times, George Romero is directing a fourth installment, Land of the Dead. I'm excited for that. That sounds cool. George Romero directing a zombie film. How can you go wrong with that? What else do we got here? Penny Arcade looks pretty freaking funny today. It's like an office helper for like when you're posting a flame on the forum post. It's a joke thing. Okay. Well, not much else is going on. I guess it's kind of early over there. So, I don't really have anything else to say. And I don't have anything else cool to talk about besides political crap. You know what'll cheer us up? You know what was going to cheer us up? I have an older clip from Jon Stewart, and it's funny. And so we're going to play that, and because I like Jon Stewart and The Daily Show a lot. So let's hear that clip from The Daily Show.
Hey! Welcome to The Daily Show, Jon Stewart! We have a fine show for you tonight. As we speak, right now, the Boston Red Sox are either delivering the ecstasy so longed for by the Red Sox Nation, or delivering their finest f*** you to their fans yet. Down 3-0. Oh, let's just climb back to be even just so we can break your heart. So I don't know, and if you're not watching and you're watching the game right now, guess what? So am I. Well, we are less than 2 weeks from the election, and now that the debates are over and both men have exhausted their stock of reasonable discussion, it's time to get out there and let it fly.
He voted against funds for bullets and body armor for the troops he had voted to send into battle.
George Bush's answer to our health care problems is to tell the American people, stop whining.
Senator Kerry has managed to offend or alienate almost every one of America's fighting allies in the war on terror.
A higher share of the tax burden for the middle class. Stop whining. Everything's fine.
Weaken American intelligence.
45 million Americans with no health care at all.
Holy graphics department, Batman! Holy book! Yes, as the candidates traded highly questionable barbs, the president continued a theme he's hit throughout the year. That John Kerry is the most consistently liberal senator and a flip-flopper.
Got a voting record that makes Ted Kennedy look like the conservative senator from Massachusetts.
He can run, but he cannot hide.
You know, the last guy he used that phrase on actually ran and hid.
If I remember correctly, somewhat successfully, I might add.
Really, can't have.
But as John Kerry travels the country blaming the flu epidemic on the president, bringing up the specter of the draft and the loss of Social Security, President Bush has made it clear his campaign, it'll be different.
On November the 2nd, the people of America will reject the politics of fear and vote for an agenda of hope.
Powerful, optimistic words, only slightly undercut by a speech his vice president gave on the very same day in Ohio.
The biggest threat we face now as a nation is the possibility of terrorists ending up in the middle of one of our cities with deadlier weapons than have ever before been used against us, with a biological agent or a nuclear weapon or a chemical weapon of some kind.
Your agenda of hope just made me crap my pants. Now, you've got an agenda of hope. Hope!
You're all going to die.
Daily Show senior political correspondent Rob Corddry has been following the campaign very closely for us. He joins us now from Waterloo, Iowa, where he's been with the... Where he's been with the Bush campaign.
No, John, what? That looked like Waterloo to you? Cedar Rapids, try. I'm in Cedar Rapids. God, you're a pompous ass.
How? Why? Sorry, Rob, you know what? It didn't seem like this campaign could get any more negative. But ever since the last debate, somehow it has.
You're right, John. We've entered what political strategists call the brown hour. A frantic period of relentless mudslinging leading right up to the election day. And most likely through the recount, the court challenge, and the ensuing race war.
Did you say race war?
I meant to stop at court challenge.
Well, what if Bush and Kerry take these attacks too far? Is there a danger that they turn voters off in some way?
It's an interesting question, John. Interesting for how stupid it is. John, the only price a politician pays is for not attacking enough. Forget the polls, the pundits, and the voters. The real loser on November 2nd will be the man who has the most turds left unflung in his bucket.
Well, then what do you see coming down the pike in these next 2 weeks?
Oh, John, I think we're all going to be taking a ride on the SS Soul Crush. Kerry will accuse Bush of secretly planning a backdoor draft of flu-stricken seniors, while Bush will respond that Kerry, if elected, will detonate a bomb in an American city that turns everybody gay. Yeah. Oh, John, we're in for it, John. In these next 13 days, we're going to hear about arson, witchcraft, necrophilia, MILF hunting, something called Hitler massaging. Not really sure what that is. But mark my words, by the end of all this, neither of these men will be fit to be president.
Well, thank you for that hopeful note.
Thank you, John, for your humor. Much needed laughter. Why do I keep saying, what the heck is that? Anyway, we're going to finish it off with Luis from houseofslug.brendoman.com, and he's going to give his take on movies, music, TV, DVDs. He's got a lot of good stuff to talk about, and you'll be hearing from him some more. So, here's Luis. Take it away.
Hey there, everyone. It's Luis here from House of Slug, finally getting in on the whole podcast thing. I was thinking of some terribly clever ways to introduce myself, but then after stopping and restarting like 48,000 times, I figured, hey, why not just dive right in instead of trying to be, you know, witty and smart or something. So, I'm just gonna start talking. Figure I should introduce myself. Maybe some of you who are listening don't know who I am. You can find my blog at houseofslug.brendoman.com. And I post pretty sporadically. I can go a whole bunch of length of time without posting. But if you go through my archives, you can see that I love movies, and mostly movies, really, and television and music. So I figured that's what I'm going to stick to talking about, since that's what I do know best. The first thing I want to talk about, and what I want to focus on right now on my first podcasting thing, whatever, is the miniseries Band of Brothers. Yes, a lot of you probably have seen it years ago. It aired on HBO in 2001, around this time, actually. And I actually just saw it last week, throughout the week. I had my father brought the DVD home, and I got it for free, too, so hey, that was pretty sweet. And I wanted to watch it, but I never did. So last Sunday, I'm sitting at home, I'm wondering, there's nothing else to do around here. There's, like, nothing on TV. So I go downstairs to the DVD tray holding thing, and I noticed that the Band of Brothers. So I'm like, hey, why don't I watch it now? So I pop in the first DVD, and I was really amazed at what I watched. It was really, really well done. It was just well written. The actors in it, they fit the people that they were portraying perfectly, and it wasn't like, it was just a perfect balance of character and character development, and then eventually when you get to the, when they're actually in World War II and they're fighting, it's very realistic. I really did, I was very impressed by the first two episodes, so then I just wanted to watch the other right away, but I had other things to do. So then on Tuesday, I ended up not having night class. I don't remember why. I don't know, I think I just didn't go. So I pop in the next DVD, and I watch the next two episodes, and I was just amazed by it. So then on Wednesday, I watched four more episodes, and I ended up watching the other two on Thursday, I think it was. And I don't know, it was just something that, something about it, it was just very, it made an impression on you when you watch it. It's very emotional. You get to see what these guys had to go through, parachuting in on D-Day, and then going to liberate Holland, and then fighting in Belgium, and finally making their way into Germany, and you get a real sense of some of the awful things that they had to go through. It's just, I can't, like, really put it well into words, and maybe I shouldn't, maybe I should let you experience for yourself, so I'm demanding that you will watch it. And I know that HBO DVDs are ridiculously overpriced, like seriously, some of them are like $100, and you're wondering what the hell. But this is really worth your money. If I had seen Band of Brothers before, then I would have bought the DVD when it came out 2 years ago. I lucked out that it was for free, and I really do recommend it. It's like $90. It used to be like $130. I think it was $120, $130, something like that. But it's $90 now. I really do think it's $90 well worth it. If you don't want to pay for it, I think History Channel is showing it or something in November. Let me just check here. Holding this mic, typing with one hand. Yeah, History Channel, Band of Brothers. It starts airing in, like, November something or other. If this page would load, that would be wonderful. Here we go. November 25th. That's, like, what, Thanksgiving? Yeah, let's pretend it's Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure it is Thanksgiving. Yeah, part one, November 25th. 10 p.m. and every day after that, it looks like, yeah, every day after that, for the next 10 days, they're showing the whole series, so you can check that out if you don't want to pay for it, or if you have almost 8 gigabytes on your hard drive, you can go to supernova.org and download it using BitTorrent, supernova.org, like the best site ever, and you can do that if you don't want to, you know, pay for it or wait until Thanksgiving. Or you could go to Netflix.com. I'm pretty sure they have it. Hanzo mentioned that he was going to Netflix. Check Netflix and see if they have it. Yeah, I'm way too lazy to check for you, but you could check Netflix.com. So check to see if they have Band of Brothers. I really do think that it's something everybody should watch and experience and just appreciate. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? I think I'm like, what is this? 5-6 minutes? I don't know. Let's see. Another thing I do feel passionate about is music. I'm always, checking out new artists and everything. Though, I don't know, this year, nothing really impressed me much. I've been listening to a lot of old albums, and by old, I mean like 2001, 2002. Nothing from like the 70s or anything. But really, nothing this year has impressed me too much. I've been listening to a lot of Flaming Lips and Postal Service. You should all listen to the Postal Service because I'm right in saying that they're incredible. And I don't know, nothing this year really spoke to me. See, last year, I thought Damien Rice, who you should check out as well, had a great album. But this year, no one really has stuck out. There were some releases by artists that I was looking forward to, like Rilo Kiley. They had an album come out in August called More Adventurous. It was really bad. Their previous albums, Takeoffs and Landings and The Execution of All Things, were much, much better. More Adventurous felt like a lot of steps backwards. Like, I don't know, they just shouldn't have bothered with that. They should have just, like, maybe worked on it a little more. But whatever. Let's see. Enough about music. Let's talk about TV. Anybody watch TV? Because I watch TV all the time. I checked out Joey. I don't know how many of you were Friends fans. And it was alright. I mean, it wasn't Friends, that's for sure. But it was, I don't know. It just felt like, oh, it's Joey. Why did he get his own spinoff? And you watch it and you still kind of wonder why he got his own spinoff. But it has its funny moments, but I don't know. I like Drea De Mateo. She has good comic timing in it, but I'm not really watching it. I just saw the first episode and that was enough for me. Another show that I checked out that looked interesting was Lost, and that actually remained interesting. It caught my attention long enough and I've been checking out. It's really good. If you don't know what it's about 48 people who were on a plane and it crash lands on this island. And now they have to survive on this island because it doesn't look like anyone's going to rescue them. Because really, that would suck for the show if they got rescued. Because why would they be... Yeah, you get it. It's just very interesting. The characters are well developed. There's certain mystery elements to them. Like every week you're finding out more about one specific character. And you kind of get an idea of who they were before they crash landed on the island. It's pretty good. I think you should all check it out if you enjoy watching good television. I don't know what else to talk about. I was gonna make some notes and kind of like reference to them, but then I was like, why not just dive into it instead? So I'm approaching, 9 minutes? I can't even tell. I'm retarded. But yeah, I'll be contributing more to the podcast. I hope someone out there appreciates or likes what I'm saying. If you don't, then say something. And I will be submitting more often, and I hope that you enjoy my segments. And take care.
Alright, thank you, Luis. It's been cool having you on the show for the first time. It's cool to finally hear your voice. So, this has been the BrennoMan.com podcast. Next show will be on Saturday. Send in your audio, feedback, segments, whatever, to BrendoMan@gmail.com. Be sure to check out our websites, BrendoMan.com, and our podcast site, RadioBrendoMan.com. That's all we got for now. Till then, courage, whatever. Have a good one, folks.